Welcome to Ask a Relationship Coach. This is both a podcast and a video series, so you can find us on any of the major podcast players or on YouTube. I am really excited to be here and feeling glad that Bryce is with me also.
Yeah, good to be here, Jen.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So even though this episode is piggybacking off of the last podcast that Bryce and I did together, the Conscious Couple podcast, I wanted to share how I got into wanting to do this project and what you can expect from listening. So when I began working with my first clients as a marriage and family therapist, it was about 13 years ago, and people were coming in for all sorts of struggles and problems, everything from relationship struggles to career problems to addictions, depression, and anxiety. And I was 27 at the time, and many of these clients were older than me. They were more well-educated. They were more well-off financially. And I really wondered, what do I know that can help all of these clients with all of these different problems? So I began to dig a little bit deeper, and I began to wonder, underneath every one of these struggles, what is it that people really want? So this question, along with a few other important questions, led me to developing what I now call the Advanced Relationship Coaching Model. And this is really the model of relational work that guides everything I do, and it's from this model that I wanted to be able to help and support you. So this is really where this idea came from, is wanting listeners to be able to write in questions or wanting people to even sometimes get on live and for me to be able to help answer your questions or coach you. And then Bryce has also agreed to be a part of this project and to help by bringing in his experience and his knowledge and perspective. So I just really thank you, Bryce, for being on here, and I feel excited you're here to help
Sweet.
Me explore.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So what we're really wanting here for you as a listener is to get some incredible support and connection and some great ideas. So the way it'll work is that one or both of us will read and answer your questions, or sometimes coach, on this podcast. So sometimes I may do an episode on my own, sometimes Bryce may do an episode on his own, and there may also be many times when we will do episodes together. So ultimately, the goal will be to circle back to what this all has to do with advanced relationship. And that just basically means that we want to help you look at how can you use every struggle in your life to create more and more of what you really want. So if you have a question about your relationship to yourself, to your spouse, marriage, your dating life, to your career, to your family members or friends, even about your relationship to money, food, sexuality, spirituality, or any other important aspect of your life, send in your question to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, that's two N's, Jenny at advancedrelationshipacademy.com. We read all of the questions, and many of them we will be answering on this podcast. Now, if you're also willing to be coached live, you could put a little note in just saying, hey, I'm willing to be coached live. So you would still ask your question, but you could just note on there if you're willing to be coached live. And there may be some times where we will reach out to people and actually see if you, we can coach you on the podcast through like a video conference call. So that might be scary, but it's a great opportunity for some free coaching. Okay, and if you're interested, if you like what you're hearing here, if you want to learn more about how you can actually learn how to do the process in your own life, then go to advancedrelationshipacademy.com and you can find out how to get access to the Relationship Mastery course, which is an online learning course, and then also how to get coaching with Bryce and I. So everything is there. It's really easy to access, and you can find it all at advancedrelationshipacademy.com. So I think that's it for housekeeping from my end. Bryce, is there anything you want to talk about in terms of what's going on for you?
Yeah, the big new thing is men's groups starting in January. The next one is January 7th. And this group will be a 30 plus. So most of the guys in there, we have a few are in their 40s. That's probably the average age is about 40. We'll meet twice a month for 90 minutes. It's done online. So you can access it from anywhere. It goes for 6 months. So
Very
if you
cool.
want to get more info on that, you can go to brycebauer.com, B-R-Y-C-E-B-A-U-E-R.com.
Great. Thanks, Bryce. Okay, so let's get into today's question. So this is our first listener question specifically for this podcast, for the Ask a Relationship Coach podcast. And I just want to say thanks to everyone who has sent in questions so far. I've actually got a nice list that's already growing. So we've got episodes to come, and today's question comes from a gentleman, and he says, how can one best navigate a marriage where both parties feel trapped but need to be together for the kids? What options do we have when separating isn't really an option? And then he gives some background. He says, our version of, quote, for the kids, close quote, is real. Both boys are special needs. One, 2 years old, has an airway birth defect for which we have regular medical attention and a lot of extra hands-on at home. The other, eight, is one that has that's on the autism spectrum and needs careful attention to help manage his behavioral challenges. For both my wife and I, trying to manage these guys across two households is almost unthinkable, not to mention the stretching of financial resources. Okay, so thank you for the question. I decided to choose this question for our first listener question because it's actually, I think it's a pretty complex question, and I think there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, so there's a piece here that isn't making total sense to me, and I think it could be something that's going on within the question. So it could be the question that you're asking is not really going to get you what you want. You're asking what options you have, and you're saying that you can't live in separate households. So that leads me to believe that you don't want to be in an intimate partnership with this person, and you're basically setting yourself up for failure in the way that you're asking the question, because you're saying, I want to live separately, but yet here are the reasons which why I can't do it.
Yeah, I like your way of describing that, Bryce, because that was what came up for me when I sat with the question and kind of walked it through the process that I use. I felt like very confused by the question and started to feel even some anger and sadness rise as I was sitting with the question. So that was interesting for me to notice. And what really helped relieve that energy for me was when I realized that I didn't have to answer the question as it sat, because the question as it sat almost didn't seem to be the real question.
Right. So if we were to dig down a little bit deeper, the question may be, how can I come into closer connection with my wife and make this feel good, mm-hmm. having to raise these two boys that have issues?
I like that. Yep. The way that I ended up also thinking about this was being able to say, I'm feeling trapped. Whether my wife and I do or don't separate, how can I begin to create more of what I want, and how can I help her create more of what she really wants? Because it sounds like you're in a situation where whether it's true that you can or can't separate, you don't want to do that right now. That's not what you're choosing to do right now, but you're wanting to not feel trapped. And feeling trapped seems to me to usually be about feeling like you're either experiencing something you don't want to experience, or you can't figure out how to get something you do want. And in the question, it wasn't clear to me what it is you do want.
Right. And I think people really do get stuck here with this exact framing, which is, I don't really know what I want, but here's a bunch of reasons why this situation is hard. And it can be tempting to go into problem solving, like, what options do I have? And maybe we'll get into that where we can list some potential options. But the reality is, either way, you can do whatever you want. Like, even if you bail on the marriage and bail on the family, that's an option you have. And the reason why I'm saying that is because you need to be empowered and understand the reality of your situation, which is that you are staying in this for a reason. There's something that you value there. So it could be the kids, could be your wife, could be the house, it could be some sense of security there. But don't lose sight of that, that there's something that you really value that's keeping you there, because if it wasn't working for you, you would leave.
I really like that. So you're kind of talking about this idea of him reconnecting emotionally to what he values and being able to actually feel the reality of, the reason I'm still here, the reason I'm still choosing this, is because I actually am getting something out of this.
Totally.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you can't incorporate other needs. So you may say, well, yeah, like, I'm getting a sense of, I feel like I'm being responsible, or I'm following my duties, and that feels really good for me as a man. So that may be something that feels very true for you, but you may also think, well, I also want other things as well. Like, I want deeper connection. I want a partnership where there's sex, or more quality sex if that's not happening. Or I want a connection where there's more relaxation or deeper conversations. So, like, what else is it you're wanting that you're not getting in your current situation? And maybe you're already really clear on that. And so if you are, what I would suggest is start to practice speaking that to your wife. And you could do it in just a really clear, concise statement. Something like, I want deeper conversations. or I want more quality sex. So like, what is it you might be withholding from her, if anything? Is there anything you're withholding from her that just needs to be spoken really honestly?
Yeah, and if it's for yourself, my guess is you might be wanting more time to take care of yourself or do things that you love to do. If you're holding down a full-time job and then you have a second full-time job taking care of kids, and then you have whatever managing of your relationship that you have to do, and all of it feels a bit overwhelming, my guess is that you're wanting more time for yourself.
That feels really true to me too.
Yeah, so I think if I'm pointing towards any doing step, it really is to sit with the reality of your situation. And I know it might not be what you want to hear, but how did it get to this point that it is now? How are you contributing to the situation that really doesn't feel good for you? Are there ways you aren't speaking up? Are there ways you're just going along with this obligation that you feel like you have in a way that doesn't feel good? Whatever it is, you're contributing to it some way. And there's also the reality that you probably didn't choose for your kids to have some of the difficulties that they have and to be in the situation that you're in. So you're holding both there.
I like that. Yeah, because as you say that, I'm picturing me being in a situation like that, and it sounds really overwhelming and really hard, but I'm picturing the only way to really be able to stay connected to myself and other people in that situation would be to own it so honestly. This really is my situation, and in order to stay connected, I am going to have to take time for myself. Like, it just is going to have to be. Otherwise, I risk losing connection with myself and other people. And that's just the need I'm imagining. Yours could be different. But whatever unmet need there is that's leaving you feeling trapped, like that really does need to be addressed.
And what do you think that might be, Jen?
I don't know. If you were here with us, we could dive into this deeper. But I also found it fascinating that you said you both feel trapped. So that kind of clued me in that whatever's needed is both an individual need as well as a relationship need. My guess is it probably has something to do with time and energy. Too much time and energy going to the kids and the family. Not enough to self-care or relationship care. Whether that's to get more relaxation or adventure or connection or something. Just something is needed there. Individually and relationally. And it might not even be as much as you think you need. Like, you might be scared to take that time for yourself or take that time for the relationship, thinking that you won't have enough time for your kids. But you might be surprised that a little bit of meeting that need might go a long way.
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to some of the clients I've worked with when there's this just total overload of obligation. And some of it is very real. Like, a lot of us do need to work. And we do need to take care of the kids. But then you start looking into, oh, wait, obligations that you have at church. Oh, obligations that you're taking on with your friends. Obligations that you're taking on just extra within the home when you could actually use your resources to help things feel better there.
Yes. And what's hard is if you're comparing yourself to others, it'll get tricky here because others might actually have enough time and space to meet multiple obligations outside the home because they may not have as many in the home. But your reality is not that. Like, if you were to really honor the fact that you have this incredible amount of obligation in the home, and if you actually do value that and want to maintain that, you may have to really, really make a conscious choice to not meet other certain types of obligations. It's just a choice.
Yeah. And I noticed with men too, like men, I think women do this too, but definitely with men, think they can just take on the world and work a 40, 50, 60 hour work week and come home and do all these duties at home and then manage somehow like everything else they want in their life. And that may not just be possible. That extra 5 hours of work that you're being asked to put in at work, you may need to really step up and stand up for yourself and say, no, actually, I have 2 kids at home that I need to take care of and I'm not going to be working extra hours anymore. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And to be able to really maybe do your work around this so that you can say that without it being about you're a victim to this situation. It really gets to be that, wow, this is a choice. I don't have to stay in this home. And that's a real reality. I think you're going to benefit from saying the option is always there to divorce. The option is always there to leave the home. The option is even there to like literally walk away and never see my kids again. Like, right. People do that and it's an option. But it may not be the option you want to choose. And that's fine. But if you can own that super honestly, then you start to get to make more empowered choices.
On the flip side, another option might be to throw the entire kitchen sink at improving your situation with your wife and go to therapy once or twice a week or get coaching and rack up some money on the credit card and be like, you know what? Like, we'll take care of that when we have to. But like right now, what's most important is figuring this shit out with my wife so that it feels better in the home. Because this is supposed to be your launching pad. Your home is supposed to be your safe haven. It's not supposed to be a place where you come and feel more stressed, because if you're already feeling that at work, that's why people spend a bunch of time at work typically, is because they feel more relaxed at work than they do at home. You want to create a safe nest at home. And if you can't, yeah, you can leave.
Yeah.
I mean, there are rooms you can rent on Craigslist for $400 just about anywhere you are. And that might sound like, oh, I would never do that. But there is an option there. And you get to decide how much your nervous system can handle here. But this is top priority.
I agree. Putting some energy and resources towards that could be highly beneficial.
Yeah, and I am a believer that life is here to serve us in some way, and that this situation is really drawing out of you something, someplace where you can really grow. So looking at it not only as a mountain that you can climb, will climb, but also something that's going to make you stronger in the process. And this is a cliche that gets thrown around, but to really hammer it in to our heads, this mindset of life is on our side, it's here to serve us, takes a lifetime. And it needs to be done moment by moment to move out of the victim seat and into the author of your life.
And I'm just sitting here nodding because that just seems so true to me. There are so many things that can pop up day to day that put me back in that victim space. And there's nothing wrong with the victim space. It doesn't make us bad or wrong. It just flags us to an area, like Bryce said, where there's growth to be had and where we actually get to see something we aren't currently seeing about, where we actually have power that's not in our conscious awareness.
Yeah, and I like how we have these conversations, Jen, because sometimes I hear something and I think we're constantly balancing it out. Because I think about even just being in the victim seat, which you may be now, and to bring in a whole lot of compassion for that space, there might be a lot of sadness there and anger there and judgment towards yourself. And you might need to ask to be held by a family member, a friend, your wife, really listen to, because you may have been trying to carry this for years and it's coming to a tipping point now, and you might fall apart, you might break down in some way.
Yeah.
And that can be really necessary and helpful, actually.
Yeah, and I really like that compassion, because one thing Bryce and I see is that it's very rare for people to be having these hard conversations out in the open, and these are things we kind of tend to keep to ourselves. We may talk about it on a certain level, but it's not very often that we really dive in deep and feel the feelings that are there. And so I really like that compassionate piece as you're talking about that, because I sense a lot of sadness and frustration as I read the question.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also noticing what just popped up was there's probably something with relationship to money here, because it does seem like when you're talking about options, you're like, oh, moving out's not an option because of money, or getting more support with the kids is not an option because of money. Divorce, maybe there's money there. So maybe we should touch on that a bit.
Yeah, I like that, because that actually did pop up to me as well. Like, you know, if we were to separate into different homes, it would stretch our financial resources. And I really get that, and that could be true. And it actually is true in a lot of situations that when people divorce, their financial resources go down in a way because it sort of stretches out between the two households. But that's not always true. Sometimes people divorce and one or both get wealthier partners. Again, you're just looking at one viewpoint, but I think that your relationship to money might be a piece to explore here as well, because you're also not looking at ways that, whether you stay together or whether you separate, other ways to make the money piece feel better.
Right, because I'm thinking about what is the reality in the moment. You know, it's just important to look at all the options, the equity you have in your home, the people you have in your life that could help out. How much of this is really you just trying to do it all on your own, especially if you're the only income in the family? This can seem super daunting. And just to sit down, if we're going to give you any action step, at least what I would say, is to sit down and get completely honest about what your options are to move forward with your wife and get some support. What are your options if that's not an option to move out, to stay and cohabitate and still get some type of support so you guys know how to navigate that and create clear boundaries? With work, what are your options? With childcare, what are your options? Like, get it all out on paper. And if you can be with your wife in this process, suggest doing it with her and be like, what are we going to do here? What do we really want?
Yes, and you may need to chip away at it one bit at a time because, again, it may feel really daunting, but I think what Bryce is saying is actually really important.
Right, and a lot of times I can get caught for speeding for jumping into problem solving, so I'm also thinking of, if we're looking at the two ways that we experience life, which one is the doing and one is the being, on the being level, you also want to sit with what your real experience is. And one way I do this is I meditate every day. One of the most helpful things I do in my life, period. Audiobooks, reading, YouTube videos. There's a bunch of free content out there that's really going to help you with whatever you're struggling with if you are thinking that you can't afford any type of support.
Yeah, and really honoring you for reaching out to us, because I don't think it's easy to write a personal question to people who are nearly strangers. And so I just really honor you for trusting us enough, or at least trusting life or yourself or people who want to help you, trusting that enough to write in a question. And I really hope that what we've been exploring today has just opened up at least a window or two or a door, something where you could feel something different. And the one thing I would suggest if you were to do anything would be to practice accessing what is your desire. Just like Bryce was talking about being able to sit with the hard emotions, on the other side, I would also want you, if you were my client, I would also want you to be able to actually start to sit with the emotional experience of desire. So to be able to actually start to sit and feel the things you want without pushing that down or giving it a story that pushes it down, like, well, I don't have enough money for that, or we can't do it that way, or whatever it is, to stop pushing that down and to start letting yourself feel the energy of your desires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, Jen. And also being aware of the stories that are in play here. So I imagine having kids that have some special needs that you may have a propensity to feel like a bad parent because they might struggle more, or your relationship to your family might look different than other families do, right? And to sit with that story, okay, I feel like a bad parent, and notice where that comes up. And also notice that it's really not true. Just because it pops into your head does not mean that it's true. Just because this story pops into your head does not mean you need to spend every waking breath tending to every single need of your child.
Yeah.
You could be getting caught in a situation where your fear about being judged by yourself or by people in your life, extended family, church, work, society in general, is actually you're just colluding with that story and giving yourself up in the process. And that's not going to feel good for anyone. Mm-hmm. We only have so much to give, right? And we also need to receive. My guess is that your giving channel is probably really full and your receiving channel is blocked. It's empty.
And that's going to cause an imbalance or a drain on anything. Scientifically, if you look at anything that channels energy, it has to receive as much as it gives. Otherwise, it gets drained and then it stops having as much to give.
Yeah, and I think our society really only looks at things from a material standpoint. And this is pulling in the mindfulness again. And this might sound a little philosophical, but to actually sit and feel and begin to try to receive each breath, the chair under your butt, the roof over your head, the food that you're eating day to day, the clean water that you're drinking, the car that you're driving, the phone that you're using, the people that you do have in your life, you have a lot there to receive. You can call someone and ask to just be listened to and to just receive their attention.
And as you're talking about that, Bryce, I'm just getting goosebumps and I'm really, really connecting with what you're saying. So I'm picturing this gentleman who's written in this question just starting to practice the receiving practice right now in this moment.
Cool.
Yeah. That feels complete for me.
The last thing I want to say is, as we're talking about this, we're definitely jumping around and we're trying on different things here. I'm like, I feel like we're pulling out different suits and being like, maybe this one will fit, maybe that one, this will help this person, maybe this will help you. And if you're noticing a theme here, it's that a lot of this I compare it to working out. So there's a lot of different ways to work out, and we can talk about those ways. I think it's way easier to really coach someone in person and see where they need to go. When we just have a question, we have to guess. But ultimately, being on the path means getting in the gym. It means continuing to ask these questions, continuing to sit with how you're feeling, continuing to reach out for support, all that. Because we can give you all the best tips and tricks, but you are the one who still has to get in the gym. And I promise you, if you show up in the gym, if you stay on the path, you keep doing this work, no matter what path you really choose, you're going to see a lot of movement.
Yeah, so don't make this the last thing you do to try to help sort out this problem.
Yeah, and don't get stopped by thinking that it's not the right way. Some people don't really move the ball because things aren't lined up perfectly, or they think they're doing it kind of wrong. But if you're trying, you're going to make some movement happen. And I think you need a little guidance too. I mean, we do. I look at the relationships that I grew up watching, and like, although some were healthy, it's not necessarily what I want. I have had to go out and learn a lot about relationships, learn a lot about psychology, learn a lot about coaching to really create the life that I want. And I had to seek mentors, and I had to get new information, because I grew up just kind of, at least for me as a boy, just asking other boys in my life, like, how does this work? How does that work? And hey, we actually just traded a lot of bad info. And so now as an adult, I'm having to relearn some of this stuff. And I'm like, oh man, like, there's some good stuff out there that I didn't know about.
I love that. We're here. If you need anything else, reach out to us. And there's a lot of other good resources out there. So stay with it. My heart is with you, and I feel really, really glad you reached out to us.
Yeah, I feel a lot of compassion hearing about this story. And I know just hearing it, this is something that you can work with. This is something where you can see movement. And just asking this question, and my guess is you're probably listening to this now, don't give up on it.
Sending lots of love.
Yeah, bye everyone.
See ya.